Our guest today is Stacy Harris, a self-described back-to-basics gal from Pike Road, Alabama. In addition to being a wife and mother to seven children, Stacy has been one of the pioneers for the farm-to-fork movement of sustainable cooking. She's written three cookbooks, Recipes and Tips for Sustainable Living, Tracking the Outdoors In, and Wild Game, Food for Your Family, as well as a DVD, Gourmet Venison with Stacy Harris. Stacy's appeared and shared her recipes on a lot of places, including now the Outpost Radio and Outpost Magazine. And welcome to the Outpost, Stacy.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Before we get into the topic of the day, which as we chatted a little bit before we started recording, I really wanted to pick your brain about Dutch oven cooking. But the more I got into what you've done in a very short amount of time, I'd like for you to tell our listeners what sustainable cooking means.
Well, you know, I've given that a lot of thought because, you know, we live in a day where, you know, it's really hard. Like, you don't live in communities where people grow their wheat and, you know, live totally off the land. But, you know, to me, if you can live somewhere, and you do live somewhere, where people can, you know, share in, you know, people's crops. Like, we grow everything we eat, but, of course, I don't have a big wheat field, and I don't have, like, a rice field. But, you know, there are places in this country. So, to me, eating locally as best you can, but also, you know, sustaining, you know, the, you know, America or where we live, you know, our country, you know, it goes all the way from, you know, as much as you can surviving, you know, on your own and cooking, you know, everything that you grow, all the way to maybe what your neighbors might can provide for you or what your local farmers market can provide for you. But it's free and clear of chemicals, and it's just a naturally grown product. Just, you know, knowing what you're eating, knowing where it comes from, you know, harvesting your own meat if you can, or getting it someplace that, you know, they harvest it, you know, from the wild, and eating as best you can from local ingredients, and I mean local around you and local in the United States. So to me, that is sustainable. You know, we're helping each other to sustain life. And I think that it takes more than just yourself, but I think you can do most of it on your own. And so that's kind of what I mean by, you know, that's how we eat. That's eating sustainable.
And you're feeding seven children and a hungry husband.
Yes, yes. And I just did a blog. Yes, well, I just finished one yesterday for Bonnie Plants, and I was saying how much, you know, we had to get like 100 plants to do asparagus to go, you know, for our family. It takes 100 to feed us. So,
wow.
You know, being able to calculate up to how much you need for your family, and then if you want to have some left over to either sell or to give away, and to me, that is just the way of a sustainable lifestyle. So sharing what you have with other people and your family, working together towards one end. So that, to me, is living sustainable.
Yep. How does a woman who obviously very accomplished, you were an attorney, how did you get into even thinking about this kind of back to the land movement?
Well, I think it really revolves around my husband. He is just like a huge hunter. And so when I got married, I didn't know how to cook the food that he brought to the table. And he cooked it pretty good, but he cooked it the same way over and over again. And so I wanted to explore that and see if I could make dishes that were incredibly tasteful and beautiful. And so I started looking for ways to do that. And as I did, I started discovering the health benefits of that. And so then I thought, why would we stop at our meat? Why would I stop at eating organically and from the wild from our meat? So we added a garden. So really it was kind of an innocent, you know, way of getting into it, an accidental kind of way of getting into sustainable living. And as we added the garden, we thought, well, you know, what about, you know, our you know, we added honey, you know, bees, and what about, you know, chickens? And so it's just kind of evolved through the years. It didn't just happen overnight. And
yeah,
that's pretty much, you know, how I got into it. But younger people today are taking note of the health benefits of eating, you know, eating from the wild, eating organic, eating things that you harvest yourself, because you know where it's been and you know what is what the animals have been fed, you know, most of the time. And you know, you know how it's processed. And I think that it's kind of hard these days with all the GMOs, and you know, we don't know what they're doing to our bodies, and we do know some things, but we just don't know a whole lot about it. And I think younger people are really beginning to take note of that and wanting to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Well, one of the topics that we're pursuing in the next month is all about the Dutch oven, and I know that's a part of I guess cooking sustainably, but tell me, do you have any kind of any thoughts on the history of, you know, why is it called a Dutch oven, for example?
Well, the Dutch oven has really been around, some semblance of a Dutch oven has been around in every culture, probably from the beginning of time, because people would make pots out of clay and put a lid on it. But the Dutch oven that, you know, that we're aware of is one that's usually cast iron, and it has a lid, and it's tight-fitting, and it's been around for about 300 years. It actually, the Netherlands is the home of the Dutch oven, and it was called a brad pan over in the Netherlands, and their system of producing these cast metal, you know, pots was superior to the Europeans. And they had a specific method that they used where, you know, they used dry sand as the mold. And a guy by the name of Abram Darby went to the Netherlands to observe the Dutch system for making the cooking vessels, and he brought that back to the Europeans. And it just, the name just kept because the Dutch seemed to have a superior way of making those particular vessels to cook in. They were smoother, mm-hmm. a smoother surface. And mm-hmm. so that's where we get the name Dutch oven.
Interesting. Now, why do you think this method of cooking is so popular now?
Well, I think there are so many advantages to cooking in a Dutch oven. One thing is that I have a large family, and I cook in one all the time because it's kind of one of those one-pot meals. You know, for a long time, and still now, the slow cooker has been, you know, a really popular way to cook. But you can do the same thing in a Dutch oven that you can in a slow cooker. And you can just leave it in on the pot, you know, just dump a bunch of ingredients in it, leave it in all day, and it's just fantastic. I usually like to brown my meat before I put any vegetables and any other liquid in it. And one of the things about a Dutch oven is that there is nothing that browns meat or browns things better than cast iron. And since they're made out of cast iron, this is like the perfect vessel. You brown your meat, and then you just put all everything else into it, and the caramelization is just fantastic. The flavors have time to meld with each other. You can cook sustainably, meaning that you can cook from your garden and what's in season, and it's always fantastic, you know, cook together in this Dutch oven. They're durable and they're cheap. They're just not very expensive. Now, depending on what kind of Dutch oven you get, there's enamel Dutch ovens as well and as the cast iron ones. And the enamel ones are beautiful, and I have them, and I love them, but I don't cook over an open fire with those. But they brown meat and do the same thing just as well as the cast iron. But the great thing, they're more expensive. But the cast iron ones, you can place, you know, sometimes they come with like little feet at the bottom of them, mm-hmm. and you can put them right on top of a fire. So they're versatile in that way. And they're also versatile in the sense that you can boil meat or boil vegetables. You can fry in them. They're pretty much indestructible, and you can cook anything that you want to cook in there. You can just, it's just amazing, you know, what you can do with the Dutch ovens.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are the nutritional benefits of a Dutch oven?
Well, this is kind of funny. My grandmother, you know, I would always eat at her house, and she really has been my inspiration for cooking and growing my own things. And she would tell me, you know, you look kind of pale. It seems like you need a little bit more iron. And so she said, you just need to cook in your cast iron skillet all the time. And, you know, so I always thought, oh, yeah, you know, this is just like some kind of old wives' tale. But it is true that you do get a little bit of iron when you cook in these Dutch ovens. And that's one, you know, of the benefits. But the other benefits are when you use a Dutch oven over and over again, it gets seasoned. And they pass down through the generations. I have a lot of my grandmother's Dutch ovens as well. But they're seasoned already. And so you don't have to use a lot of fat. So you're going to be eating leaner because you don't have to have the fat. And you don't really need it, you know, in these Dutch ovens. And you might want to add a little bit for flavor, but for the most part, the caramelization that you get from cooking in it's going to give you all the flavor that you need.
That's great. Well, now, is this method of cooking more convenient than grilling? I know everybody's got the griller in the family now. Or is it about the same? Or which do you enjoy cooking over better, grilling or Dutch oven cooking?
Well, you know, both of them have their benefits, but, you know, just like the other day, I was in my kitchen, and I use my Dutch ovens all the time. And if I have one thing to take with me on a desert island to cook with, it would be the Dutch oven. And, I cooked in it the other day, and I made some chicken. And so I put the chicken pieces in there, browned, in it, and it acts as a grill. Like I have a particular Dutch oven that has a grill that you can a grill pan that you can grill on. And so I grilled my meat, you know, first, and then I put it in the Dutch oven because I wanted to add some other things to it. I wanted to add some, you know, wine and, you know, some vegetables to it. So I put it in the other. So you kind of get the best of both worlds because you can grill in these Dutch ovens and braise, you know, things, whatever you want to do. They're just that versatile. But if I had to say, is it more convenient? You know, grilling is really convenient, but the cleanup of the Dutch oven seems to me, it's easier, you know, for me, you know, cleanup-wise. But I don't necessarily know that it's more or less convenient. I just know that I probably do that more than grill. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's more convenient, but that's because I'm inside most of the time doing my, you know, cooking and, you know, in the winter anyway. In the summer, I might, you know, think grilling would be a little bit more convenient.
Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite recipes for a Dutch oven?
Well, you know, I cook lamb stew, soups, fish stock, eggplant parmesan. I roast chickens, braised venison. I think one of my very favorite would have to be my venison bourguignon. And I have that recipe in one of my cookbooks, and I don't remember which one. I think it's in Tracking the Outdoors Inn, but I'm not sure. But it is absolutely fantastic, and I have recipes in my, you know, Sustainable Living book where I'm using the Dutch oven, and I think that would be one of them. But my other favorite, which is really kind of interesting, is like I just do sweet potato biscuits. Bake in it, they are so delicious. So I like, you know, using it for that. You can make pizzas in it, and I have a pizza recipe in my, you know, Sustainable Living cookbook, and it is just to die for, and you can make that in there. So I don't know that I have a favorite, but I do love that venison bourguignon recipe. It is just delicious.
And that, and in venison, to me, again, I'm a novice, but cooking venison is not as hard as trying to find something to do with wild geese. That's
yeah,
infinitely
harder. I agree with you.
But it's still, you know, to make venison tasty, it's a rare. It's if you've got a good way to cook venison, you know, those of you who are hunters need to track down this recipe because that sounds delicious.
It is, and, you know, venison is so different than beef, and I think the problem with people is that they cook it like beef, and when you do that, it's going to be like rubber, and then people think they don't like the meat, and
right.
It has nothing to do with it. The meat, actually, the flavor is, you know, of venison is just so amazing, and with organic beef, you know, it's the same thing. It still has marbling in it, but venison doesn't have that. So you have to work with it, but the texture, the taste is just outstanding if it's done right. So, you know, the recipes, you know, I teach you pretty much on the DVD and in the books, like how to make certain cuts of meat, what to do with those cuts. And so you, it's kind of teaching you to make up your own recipes with what, you know, with the different cuts of meat, although, you know, I have, you know, 20 or so or more venison recipes in all my books.
Wow. Wow. And we've got to, I've got to get some copies of these books. I mean, like I said, when we went into this interview, I had had little idea of the range of information that you have. How can people keep up with you, Stacey? How do they keep up with Stacey Harris? Where's the best place to find books?
I have a website,
so
gameandgarden.com. So it's just GAME and garden.com, and you spell the word and. And you can find me there. You can find me on Facebook, Sustainable Stacey. Just type that into the Facebook link. You can Google Stacey Harris. I'm on Twitter, Pinterest, you know, any whatever your favorite social media is, you can find me. Just, you know, look up my name or Game and Garden, and it should pop up. So, and I would love it, you know, and I send a newsletter out on my website every week. And so, you know, you can sign up for that for free and, you know, get the information about, you know, our family and what we're doing. And, you know, we've been building hydroponic gardening things. We're experimenting all the time. And so, you know, I'll post things about that. I've got a fermenting cabbage coming up, and that goes great with venison sausage, which you can cook in, you know, your Dutch ovens. And there's plenty of places to get Dutch ovens too, you know. By the way, and
where does somebody find a best place to find a Dutch oven?
You can get them just about anywhere. Camp Chef has some really cool ones. I have one that I used in the video. Actually, for a show that I did on the Sporting Chef, and it was. I got it there, but a lot of mine are passed down through the generations, and I kind of think ahead for my family. I've got four girls, and so I'm trying to collect different styles to give to the different, you know, to give to the different girls so that they can pass them down to their children and their children, you know, and I think that's really a neat gift because every time I look at, you know, the cast iron that I have gotten from my grandmother, I always think of her, and I think of the recipe she made, and, you know, and I try to replicate, you know, what she did. And so, you know, to me, it's giving a piece of history to your children. And so I definitely say you need to invest in a piece of this.
That's great. Stacey Harris, you're so charming. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on The Outpost, and we'll do this again soon.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.